Democratic lawmakers have been consistently criticized for being prone to lobbying, for instance, when it comes to the regulation of gambling, roadside advertising, and smoking in public spaces. As part of its efforts to clamp down on corruption, the Czech government is now working on a bill that should regulate lobbying. If approved, this law would define lobbying and require lobbyists to register. I discussed the proposed legislation with James de Candol, a Prague-based consultant and lobbyist, who believes it will bring no significant improvements.
The standard objection that's given to attempts to regulate lobbying thus far, and there have been several fairly half-hearted attempts to do this in both Slovakia and the Czech Republic over the years, the standard objection is the law is sufficient. It may not be applied, but the law is sufficient to regulate the bribing of politicians or the criminal activity in relation to public officials and so on. And this kind of regulation is redundant. I think it'll be very difficult to define who is a lobbyist and who is not a lobbyist. I think there is a danger that those who behave in a legitimate fashion today will not behave any differently if they are obliged to appear on a register of lobbyists. And those who behave in a criminal fashion today will not change their behaviour either because they won't register as lobbyists. So the challenge will be, of course, to capture those who behave badly and are not registered. And I'm not sure how that's going to be accomplished.
I think that one of the reasons why they're trying to, for instance, introduce these registers of lobbyists is to make sure that when there's a contact between a member of parliament and someone trying to persuade him who's not on that register, that sort of rings the alarm.
Yes, indeed, and of course I understand that, and that superficially makes sense, but I think you have to step back, and in the case of the Czech Republic and certainly in other countries, I think you have to abandon most of your preconceptions about the way a liberal democracy functions, built upon political parties with countervailing powers and balance of powers and so on. I think you have to abandon all that because the assumptions that we make, you know, are that the MP is being influenced by people acting on behalf of commercial interests. But in my experience here, the so-called lobbyists that you see in the parliament, they're not really trying to persuade members of parliament to do things. They're simply going to parliament with a set of instructions which are then carried out. So my view is fairly bleak. I don't see this as a game between two independent actors who are trying to persuade each other or to do something that they wouldn't otherwise do. So I would say that much of the activity in parliament is simply essentially someone delivering a draft of kind of how they want the legislation to appear or how they wish the members of parliament to vote, and the members of parliament simply do what they're told. And I wouldn't call that lobbying, I would call that instructing.
But I mean, you famously broke the tobacco monopoly back in the 1990s working for a business client for a commercial interest, and you somehow managed to persuade MPs to pass new legislation cancelling that monopoly. I mean, how is that different? I mean, they weren't on your payroll, but you must have somehow persuaded them. How did you persuade them?
Well, thank you for asking that question. It's a long, long time ago, and things have got a lot worse since then. And in the early days, everyone was perhaps a lot more optimistic. We're now a lot more, well, I'm certainly a lot more realistic. But in that particular case, we were making no progress whatsoever with any of the political parties then in power for one very simple reason. A great deal of the funding for the political parties in the early days came from the tobacco industry. And of course, when Philip Morris acquired tabac and acquired the monopoly, it was very difficult to persuade the ODS and even the ODA to change their way of thinking on this, and we were able to make progress by a stroke of remarkable good fortune. There was a very dear mid-ranking bureaucrat in the Ministry of Agriculture who I think he just wanted to get rid of us because he was so fed up with us coming in and lobbying him for the ministry to introduce change in the legislation and send it to Parliament to remove Philip Morris's production monopoly, that he slipped us a photocopy of part of the secret sales agreement between Tabak and Philip Morris. And that contained various interesting pieces of information, which I then showed to my interlocutors in the government, not in the Parliament. This was essentially an executive issue at that stage. And they responded accordingly. And within a very short time, there was a piece of legislation presented to the lower house of the Czech Parliament calling for the end of this production monopoly. There was just a stroke of luck.
What does Kandel Partners do, in fact, now, today, in the Czech Republic, and how do you do it?
Well, actually, we do very little of what most people would see as lobbying, where, you know, where we have a clear objective given to us by a commercial client in the context of Parliament, and you know, where we would go in and try and persuade members of Parliament to vote in a particular way in committee, especially, and then in the plenum. We do some of that, and it's very, very difficult to achieve results without being corrupt. And because we are not corrupt, we're generally not very successful. But I would say this, that it depends how you measure success. Essentially, what we try to do is to drive up the cost of the other side, the cost of them winning. They usually will win, but we want to make sure that, reputationally speaking, it's going to cost them a lot more. And that in itself can be valuable for a client. I'm not saying we always lose, but we do very little work like that now, simply because it's incredibly difficult to achieve results without being corrupt and without naming any names. We have been asked over the years numerous times by members of Parliament whether their services are invoiceable.
Well, the Czech government describes itself as anti-corruption government, and one of the parties, ironically, Public Affairs, ran with a very strong anti-corruption rhetoric. How do you see the Czech government's anti-corruption zeal and efforts?
Of course, I welcome the rhetoric, because it's the right rhetoric. I say that because I'm very conscious of the fact that your president, President Václav Klaus, delivers constantly the wrong rhetoric on the matter of corruption. He always downplays it. Indeed, he dismisses it. So there is a clear contrast there between what President Klaus says and what Prime Minister Nečas says. I also think that using the right rhetoric drives up the expectations of citizens, and it's a dangerous game to arouse expectations and then not deliver upon those expectations. So the result of talking up a fight against corruption and not delivering will be worse, probably, for the political parties in Parliament than if they were to say nothing. So I think that's a positive aspect. And I think in real terms, that there is a very genuine effort being made to make it harder for, you know, criminal activity and sort of in public procurement and so on. I think that the mood has changed, and there is some leadership being shown at all levels. I don't just mean at the national government level, but in my own village in Velká Huchle, for example, the citizens of the village have become much more active over the last few years in standing up for their own interests and not simply accepting what is coming out of the village council. And I think you've probably seen that over most of the country, where many of the sort of incumbent mainstream parties have been dislodged by sort of citizens' initiatives. And that's a tremendously positive development. Above all, what we need is active citizens who are bloody-minded and simply say no.
Well, they did 2 years ago at the polls. What happened, though, is now two MPs of the very party that spoke out strongest against corruption have been sentenced by first instance court on corruption charges. You said you welcome the rhetoric, but it seems that the action there is somehow missing. For instance, in the famous bearer shares issue, when it has been said many times that this is one of the core issues. What do you think of this, of the lack of transparency in all kinds of ownership structure?
Well, there are two questions there. The first is what politicians say and then what they subsequently do. The fact that elected politicians are corrupt is hardly a surprise to anyone, and they will always be corrupt because power corrupts. It's a law of nature. So I don't think it's a particularly surprising or depressing thing that you know, a couple of politicians have been found guilty of corruption. Of course, many more should be found guilty of corruption. So I think one's got to be realistic about how politicians are going to behave. What troubled me at the time of the elections that you referred to 2 years ago was this sort of this tremendous hope that was placed in Top Nola Deviat and VV. And you could see that this hope wasn't based upon experience. It was misplaced, if hope can be. I mean, hope's a tremendously, it's an essential thing, but you'll recall yourself that sort of tidal wave of enthusiasm for Top Nola Deviat, which was essentially based upon the trust that was being placed in one man who perhaps doesn't or didn't have as much power, and certainly doesn't now, over the political party that we all hoped he would have. On the second issue of the impenetrable secrecy that surrounds many of the companies that win large public procurement contracts and the issue of bearer shares, I believe that that is probably the core issue. It's maddening. It's so frustrating to be told over and over again by highly placed public officials that the law simply doesn't require them to show any interest in the beneficial owners of the companies who are receiving vast sums of money from the public purse.